Professor, wake up. Kovacs opened his eyes and saw Carl bending over him. What's wrong? I've been talking to people. My God, what a mess. There are two captains, and they fight all the time. Not enough lifeboats. The ship's engines are barely keeping us up to speed. The stupid submarine division ordered the ship to sail with an old torpedo boat escort that looks as if it were left over from the last war. The damned fools have got the ship's navigation lights on. Kovacs saw an uncharacteristic alarm in the marble features. How long have I slept? It's nighttime. We're on the open sea. Carl shoved a dark blue life jacket at Kovacs and slipped into a similar jacket. Now what do we do? Stay here. I want to check the lifeboat situation. Kovacs had not had a bath in days, and his body itched in a dozen places. He washed his face in the sink and was drying his hands on a threadbare towel when there was a knock at the door.
Professor Kovacs? A muffled voice said.
Yes? The door opened, and the professor gasped. Standing in the doorway was the ugliest woman he had ever seen. She was more than 6 feet tall, with broad shoulders straining the seams of a black Persian lamb coat. Her wide mouth was painted in bright red lipstick, and with such heavily rouged lips, she looked like a circus clown.
Pardon my appearance, she said in an unmistakably male voice. This is not an easy ship to get aboard. I had to resort to this silly disguise and a few bribes.
Who are you?
Not important. What is important is your name. You are Dr. Laszlo Kovacs, the great German-Hungarian electrical genius.
Kovacs grew weary.
I am Laszlo Kovacs. I consider myself to be Hungarian. Splendid! You are the author of the paper on electromagnetism that electrified the scientific world.
Kovacs' antenna quivered. The paper, published in an obscure scientific journal, had brought him to the attention of the Germans, who kidnapped him and his family. He said nothing.
Never mind, the man said genially, the clown smile even broader. I can see that I have the right men.
He reached under his fur coat and pulled out a pistol.
I'm sorry to be rude, Dr. Kovacs, but I am afraid I'm going to have to kill you.
Kill me? Why? I don't even know you.
But I know you. Or rather, my superiors in the NKVD know you. As soon as our glorious Red Army forces crossed the border, we sent a special squad to find you. But you had already left the lab. We would love to have you come and work for us. Had we been able to intercept you before you boarded the ship, you would be enjoying Soviet hospitality. But now I can't get you off the ship, and we can't let you and your work fall into German hands again. No. No, it just wouldn't do.
The smile vanished. Kovacs was too stunned to be afraid, even when the pistol came up and the muzzle pointed at his heart. The door opened, and Carl stepped into the cabin. He glanced at Kovacs, still holding the towel, and he read the fear in the professor's face. The Russian whirled and shot without aiming. Carl was a millisecond ahead of him. He put his head down and rammed it into the Russian's midsection. The blow should have cracked the assassin's ribcage, but the heavy fur coat and the stiff corset he wore were like padded armor. The headbutt only knocked the wind out of him. He crashed into a bunk, landing on his side. His wig fell off to reveal short black hair. He got off another shot that nicked Carl's right shoulder muscle at the base of the neck. Carl lunged at the assassin, and with his left hand groped for the throat. Blood from his wound spattered them both. The assassin brought his foot up and kicked Carl in the chest. He reeled back, tripped, and fell onto his back. Kovacs grabbed the soup bowl from the sink and threw it at the assassin's face. The bowl bounced harmlessly off the man's cheekbone. He laughed.
I'll tend to you next.
He aimed the pistol at Carl.
Vroom!
A muffled explosion thundered off the walls. The deck slanted at a sharp angle to starboard. The Gusloff was under torpedo attack. Kovacs was flung to his knees. Unused to the high-heeled boots on his feet, the assassin lost his balance. He fell on top of Carl, who grabbed the man's wrist, pulled it to his mouth, and sank his teeth into cartilage and muscle. The pistol clunked to the deck.
Boom! Boom!
The ship shuddered from two more massive explosions. The assassin tried to rise, but again lost his balance when the ship lurched to port. He teetered on the verge of standing. Carl kicked him in the ankle. The Russian let out an unladylike yell and crashed to the floor. His head came to rest against the metal base of the bunk. Carl braced himself against the sink pipes and drove his hobnail boot into the man's throat, crushing his larynx. The man flailed at Carl's leg. His eyes bulged, his face went dark red, then purple. And then he died. Carl staggered to his feet.
"We've got to get out of here. The ship's been torpedoed."